This is the sweet sound of the Himalayas. That was the sound of some passing truckers listening to Titanium really loudly. So Charlotte's been here now for about 10 days or so. It's been really good having her here so that she can kind of experience everything that I've been living for the last couple of months. I think she's mostly had a good time. We went off trekking for 4 days, so we were given a bit of time off, which everyone's had. We went and did it's a pass called the Cholar Pass, which goes up to over 5,300 metres. You hear a lot of trekkers talking about these things who have done them, and it's really good to do it yourself and actually see what all the fuss is about. Carried on and did a bit of a circuit around one of the big mountains that's just nearby. Then we came back and we've just had a few more days at Muchirmo, and to be honest, it's only two days until we close now, so we're just kind of doing bits and bobs of tidying up and finishing up the inventory, stock taking, doing final bits of washing before we have to walk out, making sure the post is kind of tidy and in ship shape for the next people who arrive. It's good. It's been a good few days, and it's quite a nice feeling to be kind of closing up. Not because it's nice to be finishing, although it is a bit nice to be finishing, but just feeling like we've achieved something and rounding everything up, you realise how many patients we've seen, how many t-shirts we've sold, how much money that we've raised for the charity over the season. I think we're on about $15,000 this season, so that's really good. And we've seen 320 patients so far. Okay, so I'm just talking with Eddie Albert, who's the lead doctor on the trip that we're on at the moment. Why do you think that the charity is so important?
So it's important to the trekkers, climbers, visitors to the high mountain areas of Nepal. It's equally, if not more important, to the local people that live there and to the guides and the porters and other people that work seasonally. I guess in countries like the UK, we're just used to having a healthcare system. And the idea that you could have to walk for 3 or 4 days just to see a doctor is something that we really can't imagine. And the clinical services that we provide are actually a vital part of the services in the area.
It's a tough life, isn't it? I had a guy a couple of days ago who had gout, which in the UK is such a simple problem to sort out. And yet he was having to walk for 3 hours on a really painful ankle to get to medical help where he could get his medications. And even then, he couldn't get a constant supply of medications. He could only get a week's worth, and it cost about $70 equivalent.
Yeah, we get grumpy if the pharmacy's run out of something and we have to wait till the next day. The idea that you're having to pay for your healthcare is something that's certainly familiar to me in Australia, but much less so back home in the UK. The sort of the way we make things work is what I call Robin Hood medicine. In other words, not quite stealing from the rich to give to the poor, but we charge a very reasonable $50 or equivalent for consultation, $10 for medication. But to the local people, we're charging 40 rupees. For the porters who are earning only a tiny wage each day, we're only charging 20 rupees. So it's a system that works, I think, very, very well indeed.
What kind of challenges are there at the moment for the charity?
Two broad challenges. The people that come up here trekking and climbing and see what we do instantly go, yeah, I've got it. I get what you're doing. It makes sense. But we're not going to appeal to a broader base in the UK. So, you know, raising funds, keeping the charity rolling from a financial perspective is always a challenge, and I think always will be a challenge, and we need some creative ways of doing that. The other big challenge that's really loomed quite large and ugly this season is the encroachment of private clinics in the area. And you might say, well, hold on a minute, you guys, if you're foreigners, you're guests in somebody else's country, you know, what right have you to get sort of upset about, you know, clinics run by Nepali people in their own country? We do have a service where we actually nurture and encourage local young Nepali doctors and try and grow independence, if you like, from us for the future. these new private clinics. They're run by a very large, very wealthy corporation in Kathmandu in concert with a helicopter company. It's going to have an effect. But perhaps down the track, what's going to happen to the locals and the porters that we've been here and that we service so cheaply? We don't really know how it's going to play out.
Yeah, it's difficult, isn't it? Because these are small villages and there's not really space for two clinics.
There's so barely space for one, really. Yeah. And that's why the charitable model works, because we're here for 3 months not getting paid.
Yeah.
So I think the best hope that we've got is that their financial model really doesn't work, and that within a few years these clinics close.
Yeah.
And that we can carry on together with the Mountain Medicine Society of Nepal and continue to grow that steady supply of Nepali doctors.
Yeah. Okay, thanks very much, Eddie.
My pleasure.
It's 8:30 in the morning and Charlotte and I have just left Namche Bazaar. We're on our way down to Lukla. We should be arriving in Lukla this afternoon in time for our flight back to Kathmandu tomorrow. Machama is finished. We closed up about 3 days ago. Charlotte and I headed up the valley to then go over the Renjo La Pass, which is 5,300 metre mountain pass between two valleys. It was amazing. We had such good views, but it was a proper slog to get up. We were both like super relieved to get to the top, but the views were incredible. This morning we woke up and for the first time in about a month there was no ice on the inside of the window. I feel glad that I've done it, but I don't feel too sad to be leaving. I think I'm ready to go home now. There's a mule train in front of us. It's massive. There's about 30 mules in it and they're all carrying gas cylinders. This Charlotte says to tell you about the farting. I can smell farty wafts. They just fart loads. Lift up their tail and fart. I mean, to be fair, if I was a mule carrying heavy gas canisters for the pleasure of Western tourists, I'd probably be pretty pissed off and I might want to fart in someone's face. On down to Lukla. I'm now at the end of my trip to Nepal. We arrived back to Kathmandu yesterday and after a very exciting flight from Lukla. Must admit, I felt a little bit teary landing back in Kathmandu. I think it's probably realising that I wasn't living in the mountains anymore and realising that it was all coming to an end. But we've been enjoying a very nice hotel and all the warmth and feeling clean after hot showers and doing some shopping and that sort of thing. I feel pretty lucky to have had this opportunity. It really has been great and a cool thing to have been able to do. Medically, it's been really interesting. The problems that we saw ranged from really minor to serious. And at times it had me kind of on the limit of my comfort zone or outside it. As a GP from urban Manchester, working with quite limited resources and far from other help, it certainly kind of focuses the mind on the task at hand. From a personal point of view, it's been an exciting adventure, a kind of trip away from normal life, but it's also good to realise what you've got back at home. I feel very lucky to have Charlotte, who's been very supportive of this trip since the outset, even though we both knew that it would be hard being apart for so long. Yeah, there have been sad times, challenging times. I've been smelly, I've been ill, cold. There's been quiet times when there's not been much going on, but then there's been lovely people and laughter and gratitude for the work that we're doing, kind of getting to really experience it, fascinating culture. It's been fun educating people, like both myself and others. It's been cool having beautiful walks and weird animals to see and colourful birds and all sorts of other awesome stuff that you just don't get quite the same experience of back home. It's going to be strange going home, but I am looking forward to it. I can't wait to catch up with family, friends, and sit in our warm, toasty house with the fire lit and the Christmas tree twinkling and see our guinea pigs. not having to worry about accidentally swallowing shower water, not having to sleep in a sleeping bag and being able to sprawl out. Also, going back to normal life kind of means admin. It means hectic working days. It means going to the supermarket, washing up and all of that. But maybe I'll have a new sense of perspective and I'll appreciate all of that stuff more. Or maybe I'll just have to start planning the next adventure. Or maybe a bit of both. If you like the podcast and you want to support it, then please like it, share it. You could subscribe to it, or you can even donate and find more information about the charities if you go to lowfatradio.com/doctor. Thank you.